ESPN app.
So Jake Bentley chased and dropped at the 15-yard line. Roquan, the chef, Smith.
Roquan Smith, he's the highlight show of this defense.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. McClaire hits by Payne. One, two. He did it. He missed. Steamboat played well. McClaire has done it. McClaire has done it.
And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
From our first Midwest Bank Studios. It's Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Reminding you, we've got tickets to give away to the Chicagoland Fishing Travel and Expo taking place at the Schaumburg Convention Center January 24th through the 27th. If you want to go, stay by your listening device on how you can win tickets for yourself or someone. Four-pack of tickets. I'm going to give away a lot of those between now and 10 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. It's our way of saying thanks for listening to Under the Hood weeknights at 7 o'clock. We've got Tales from the Hood coming up at the bottom of the hour. We got Throwback Thursday in an hour from now. Let's talk some NBA and some Bulls with former Bulls and Clippers coach Vinny Del Negro. And he joins me now here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Coach, as always, I appreciate your time. What have you seen in the first half of the season that's really caught your eye?
Well, you have to look at how Kawhi Leonard has fit into Toronto. I mean, they're just, they're 8-2 in their last 10. They're playing terrific basketball. You'd have to say that the smoothness of that transition has gone spectacular. Milwaukee, the way they're, changed their pace. Giannis's game continues to evolve. The Pacers with no real star players. Oladipo can, is obviously, he's been an all-star and that, but they've played very well. Boston has had some ups and downs with injuries, not really played as well as everybody thought, but come a playoff series, they're going to be a tough out. I think you have to give, the Brooklyn Nets some love a little bit too. I mean, no one expected them to be around 500 at this stage of the game, so, that's been good. And Philadelphia, the addition of Jimmy Butler and trying to, make that work with Embiid and Simmons and the rest of their players has been a transition. But, in the West, I'd say Golden State is Golden State. Denver has kind of jumped out. Houston is kind of getting its stride a little bit right now. They've got to get some guys back healthy. San Antonio started off slow, but, that's when everybody, it's the year San Antonio this, San Antonio that, but they're, 6-4 and 25-20. And obviously LeBron. LeBron and the Lakers, his injury have had a huge impact. They've obviously struggled without him, which most teams are going to struggle when a superstar like that, and you really can't compare anybody to LeBron. So, a lot of good stories, a lot of teams that people expected to do a little bit better. You'd think, Utah has played better as of late, but they're kind of tied for that eighth spot with the Lakers. Give Sacramento some credit. Dallas has kind of slipped a little bit in their last 20 games or so, but a lot of interesting storylines, a lot of health issues, but I think some teams have done some really good jobs and some teams are kind of staying in that mediocre range and haven't really made a push.
Yeah, the perception coming into the season, Coach, was wondering, if, with so much star power in the West, will there be anything left in the East? And that's really not the case. There's plenty of great storylines in the East, like Giannis Antetokounmpo. So let's pick apart some of the things you were talking about with Giannis. Is there a player that he reminds you of in basketball's past, with him being the Greek Freak and doing so much for this Bucks team?
Man, it's hard to compare him. Just, you know, off the top of my head, no, just because I'm not sure there's ever been anybody that long, that athletic. I mean, when he gets in the paint, I mean, his arm looks like it just unfolds into the basket. I mean, he is so athletic. He has to continue, obviously, once he gets a more consistent, you know, mid-range or jump shot, obviously that's going to change things dramatically. But he's so dominant right now with the way he can protect the rim, switch pick and rolls, block shots, get out on the break, make plays, score, get to the rim offensively, get teams in foul trouble, flatten the defense. I mean, he is a problem, whoever's guarding him, just because of his length. So hard to compare, but I'll tell you, you know, Kawhi Leonard's been fantastic for Toronto. You know, Embiid has put up some big, had some big, big games. So, you know, a lot of great storylines. You know, no question, Golden State is still the favorite if they're healthy. We know that, and everybody in the East is just hoping that the Western Conference kind of beats each other up in the first, second round and third round. So, you know, they're a little tired, they're fatigued or what have you as the playoffs go on.
You know, I was wondering coming in with the Bucks whether or not Giannis would have enough shooting around him. And I think that the Bucks so far in the first half of the season has proven that. Brogdon's a solid player. I'm a Bledsoe fan. So I like with first of all, the system, number one, but number two, just the way they're going about their business. I think it's very workmanlike, and it's just an exciting brand of ball in Milwaukee.
Yeah, and, you know, Middleton and the guys they have, like you said, you know, I coach Bledsoe. He just continues to improve, and he's an incredible athlete and gives them great balance. You know, Brogdon's been solid for him. You know, so they're deep. They can shoot it. Their tempo has changed. Their three-pointing has changed. They're going to get him up. And then at the end of the day, you know that you're going to have to contend with Giannis's ability to break the defense down in the post, outside, on the break, and just kind of manage his length as much as you can. You know, and teams will double-team him and things, but I think there's enough shooting around him. You know, you can never have enough size, you can never have enough shooting, but, you know, he's such a dynamic player, he's going to figure out a way to, you know, get the assist numbers up, score when he has to. You know, he is that good of a player, and the scary thing is I just think he's scratching the surface.
I'm really excited to see, as we talk to Vinny Del Negro, Jonathan Hood, as we go around the NBA, I'm really excited to see what Boogie Cousins looks like here, healthy with this Warriors team, because it looks like they're already seemingly, from certain nights, they look unbeatable, but definitely with Boogie's in there, what will he bring to this mix with Durant and the Splash Brothers and others?
Well, you know how, I mean, everyone knows how talented, you know, DeMarcus is. You know, he can put up, you know, he's pretty much unstoppable one-on-one in the post. Now, it's going to, you know, he'll be on a minute restriction. He'll be, you know, getting him back in shape. They're going to want to play fast, shoot threes, you know, defensively. Teams are going to try to, you know, get him away from the basket, get him out on the floor, attack him that way. But offensively, they're not going to have any problems. They just have so many weapons, and he can score. Defensively, I think, will be the biggest adjustment. And I think one of the benefits is Draymond Green does such a very good job in being able to, you know, switch, guard guards, make them shoot contested shots, and also guard the bigs, rebound, and start their break for them. So I don't think Cousins will be any different. He'll get the ball out for them, and they'll just give him another player that you're going to have to worry about in that scouting report that can put up little big numbers on you if you're not careful.
We saw the other night the difference between the Warriors and the Nuggets, at least for one regular season game, and it was getting up and down the floor. There was a ton of points scored, Coach, but I like what the Nuggets have done, because similar to some of the teams you talked about, the Nuggets, the Pacers, Portland, you could throw in there as well, workmanlike teams, just going about, you know, doing a great job. The Nuggets in particular, though, are kind of fascinating to me. Is there anything that stands out to you that tells you that maybe they're ready to take another step as a team?
I think you'd have to look at Jokic. His game is continues to evolve, shooting the three, getting to the rim, blocking shot, doing whatever. I mean, he's just such a skilled big guy. So they can run their offense through them. They really don't have a true point guard. You know, Murray, you know, Harris has been out a little bit. They're getting Barton back, which will be a big lift for them. But, you know, hey, they're deep. They're talented. They can take advantage of the altitude up there. And Jokic is really kind of their cornerstone right now, where he can score, you can run your offense through him, you can play a little half court, you can pound it inside to him. He plays off the elbow. If you don't get out of him, he knocks shots down, which opens up passing lanes and cutting lanes. So, he's a dynamic player. You know, they've played well, you know, especially at home. They've always had very good home records, but they're a little bit more consistent, almost a little bit over 500, I think, on the road. Their point differential is pretty good. And they're just been consistent. They've been solid and consistent. The group's been together now for a few years. But I think the key for them is obviously Jokic.
The trade that took place, and you remember it well, with Paul George leaving Indiana to go to Oklahoma City, and Pacers fans on the other end of that trade was like, we got Victor Oladipo and a couple other players. That's all we got. Well, you got a special player in Victor Oladipo. There's a guy there. You see him in the press, Coach, and he embraces being a Pacer because of his time with the Hoosiers. He appreciates that Pacers team, and really, he's a straw that serves a drink for them. And I got to give McMillan a lot of credit here. He runs his system. It's very efficient. I like what they do offensively. That's a really unsung story here in the first half of the season as well.
You have to give them credit. Nate McMillan, a college teammate of mine at NC State, great guy, great coach. Done a fantastic job there. Indiana, they put the work hat on every day. They go out and they do it. Oladipo's been fantastic. Sabonis in the trade, like you said. But Turner, all these different guys, they've had some injuries and things like everybody, but they're consistent and they play hard and they play well together, and they know kind of when you watch them, I think they all understand what their role is. And they've done a nice job. I mean, and I think in the last 10 games, they're 7-3, 8-2, I believe. So playing very solid basketball. And they've always had, played very well at home, and I don't think it's any different this year. But, when you look at their team, you're like, no real superstar type of player, but I'll tell you, they got a lot of really good players. And like I said, they know their role, they do their job, and they put their work hat on every day and they go to work.
You know, one of the disappointing teams in the first half for me, Coach, is the Wizards. It's so disappointing because you know how talented Wall and Beal are as two of the quickest guards, efficient guards offensively. It's so disappointing to see the way the team has kind of fallen apart. Can you put your finger on why they probably won't get to the playoffs this year?
Well, hey, it's easy to talk about, but no question, the injury to Wall changed the complexion of that team. They made the trades. They got rid of Gortat, who they had played with for a while. Dwight Howard's injury. They brought in Austin Rivers, then they traded him and let him go. So there's been a lot of moving parts there. They've kind of been around 500 or so, I think, since Wall went out. But, people are thinking a lot higher. When you talk about that backcourt, you got to say it's one of the top, two, three, four backcourts in the league. Mm-hmm. Dynamic, explosive. Otto Porter, they paid him, his production and things. So at the end of the day, they traded Oubre to Phoenix. So, they're trying to revamp it there. But a disappointing year to date for them. Injuries, players they brought in, players that haven't produced. The chemistry of the team just doesn't seem right at times. And they're paying the price for it right now. But, once you get a John Wall back, that's going to change it. They weren't playing well with him. His injury obviously dictated that a lot, I think, because we know John's a very good player, an all-star in the league. So have to get healthy, have to get their chemistry back, their attitude back, their feeling of togetherness on the court. And if they do that, they can turn it around because that backcourt is so good.
Going around the NBA with Vinny Del Negro, Jonathan Hood, glad that you're with us here as we talk about the first half of the season in the NBA. In your day playing and also coaching, you know that there's always grumbling, whether it's off the record or on the record. You're going to hear grumbling from players because of the way the organization's not going well or something in the team that it's not going well. But I think there's a lot of attention on what's going to happen here in the offseason, and in particular, Jimmy Butler. So Butler wanted out of Minnesota and is able to get traded. He goes to Philadelphia. Now, on the surface, Butler comes in with other young players on that 76ers team, and maybe Jimmy can be able to kind of bring those young players together. Now, I don't know if that is going to be the case as we move forward, but you saw just 2 weeks ago, Jimmy's like questioning Brett Brown about his use in the offense. It's just like, well, what the hell, man? Like you wanted out of Minnesota. You got your way. You go to a team that's going to go to the playoffs. And that now you're upset with the way you're being utilized in the offense and you're a free agent. And I was saying this on the air a few weeks ago, Coach, it's going to hurt your money one way or the other because teams see the talent, but they want the headache. He just needs to just play. I mean, he's had a great opportunity with a really solid team there.
He does. And he fits kind of what they need in that type of city. Great city, Philadelphia. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you have to perform. We know Jimmy's a two-way player, can put up big numbers, can guard. But, you know, he wasn't happy in Chicago. He wasn't happy in Minnesota. And then there's been rumblings in Philly. But at the end of the day, he's a coveted player. He's an all-star level type player. But, you know, at the end of the day, he produces. He's gonna get his money. I mean, he's that good of a player. So you don't know what's happening, you know, behind the scenes and things. You know, obviously, you like to keep things in-house, work through them. There's going to be an adjustment period when you add a player of that talent to already a talented group. And they got rid of a couple players that were well-liked, not only in the locker room, in the community. So there's an adjustment period there. And it just takes time, you know. I think Golden State will go through that a little bit with DeMarcus, but at the end of the day, they're going to figure it out because they're talented, they're good players, they're champions. And I think Philadelphia is trying to kind of figure out, you know, where Embiid's best suited, where Ben Simmons is, how we're going to get Jimmy the ball in what situations, and they have to work through it. And those just take repetition. Those take, you know, not only practice reps, but more importantly, game reps and, you know, figuring out why it worked, why it didn't work, and make sure you're on the same page. But it's not like you can snap your fingers and it's done. It takes hard work, determination, desire, a commitment daily to improve, and Philly's going to go through some growing pains that way. But I tell you, you know, you get in the playoffs, you get those guys on a roll, the way Embiid can control tempo in the post, on the perimeter, and the way Jimmy can score, and obviously Simmons' ability with, he's a triple-double every night almost, with Redick shooting the basketball. They're deep, and they're going to give teams problems.
I need your help with this when it comes to coaching young players, because in Chicago, you were able to elevate the Bulls to another level. With the Clippers, you had a team that was pretty solid. And so you had some veterans and you had some young players in that Clippers team. But I do need your help about how you're able to cultivate and try to teach young players when you know that it's kind of a rebuilding year. Like if you're Phoenix, if you're Cleveland, if you're Chicago, how difficult is that to try to get players to keep their heads up, even though you kind of know that the season's not going in the right direction? Because some players will just go through the motions of saying next trip, next hotel, next game, next club, next plane, next. I mean, it becomes a rhythm for them.
No question. But at the end of the day, you know, that's, you know, you have to draft, you know, not only, you know, talented players, but quality individuals that want to play injured, will fight through things. But, you know, there's so many young players in the league that the player development, the focus, and you do that by creating a culture, by, you know, every day getting in there, grinding it out, doing your drills, having, you know, strong practices, preparing for games, making your adjustments, you know, going through the timeouts, going through halftime speeches, post, pre, everything, you know, and just kind of staying together. And then you want to see what guys are going to be in the bunker and what guys are going to kind of splinter off. And the guys that are in the bunkers, the guys that you want moving forward with your franchise. I mean, that's just the way it is. There's no easy answers to this stuff. It's hard. You have a lot of young players. The league takes no mercy. They don't care who's injured or not. The games are scheduled. You got to, you know, tie your sneakers and jump ball and play and outperform teams. So, you know, sometimes you can win ugly, and sometimes you can win ugly, and sometimes you play great and you can lose. But when you're developing young players, there's an inconsistency that hurts you to win basketball games. But if you can work through those things and see an improvement, the goal I always had is I want to make sure my team is consistently improving throughout the season statistically. Offensive efficiency, defensive efficiency, rebounding, steals, everyone's on the same page. Our practice habits, everyone's working on their game. And not on the things that they're good at, but things that they're not so good at, so we can improve, you know, individually so the group is stronger. So it's a mindset. Is it easy? Of course not. You know, everybody wants to play. Everybody wants more shots. Everybody wants more minutes. Everybody wants to win. And, you know, like I always tell young players, the way you earn respect, which is the most important thing when you retire, is by winning. And if you're consistent, if you're a professional, if you go to work every day, you put your time in, you have an unbelievable job, you get paid tons of money, but at the end of the day, all that's great, but you're going to want, believe me, 10, 20, 15, 20, 30 years after you're done, people respect the way you competed every night is going to be a huge thing for you, and I appreciate that as much as anything. When people say my team's played hard, or as when I played hard, and they respected that, that makes you feel good.
Oh, I can't wait for you to coach again. Listen to that. Listen to you. There's a guy who's with the Spurs.
but Jonathan, name one person that you've met that doesn't like a pat on the back.
Right.
Right? You know, right. But that's okay. But, you know, as a coach, the pat on the back's great, but you have to get on the court. You have to earn trust with players, because sometimes you can't pat them on the back. You got to get in their face and tell them this is not acceptable. This is not good enough. You're not sprinting back on defense. You're not, you know, your hands aren't out. You're not executing out of timeouts. Your work habits aren't good enough, and this is not acceptable. Then they do it. Pat them on the back. Give them a hug. Okay, let's go to lunch. Let's talk about this. What you like, what you don't like. This is what I need you to do for us to be successful. It might not be the perfect role for you right now, but for the group, this is what's best. And if you do that, you're going to get more minutes. You're going to develop, and that's how you do it. You go at them that way. For me, I'm an old school guy from that aspect. Do your job. I'll respect that. I'll earn your trust. I'm going to coach you hard. But I'm also going to reward you when you do the things and you improve and do them the right way and help build our culture that is most important.
Yeah, absolutely. A multiple choice question, and I'll let you go. I want to get your thoughts because I know you keep your eyes on the college game as well. Zion sure. Williamson, RJ Barrett are off the board as far as the player that's most NBA ready that you've seen.
Well, does Zion have a cousin we can take third or somebody? I don't know. I mean,
that's off the board. The third choice.
Or does RJ have a cousin we could talk to? I mean, those two guys are off the charts. I mean, I think it'll all pan itself out. I mean, you know, Reddish is, you know, didn't play the other night against Syracuse, or last night, I guess they got beat, or two nights ago. But, you know, Duke's, you know, Jones got hurt with the shoulder. You know, Reddish, I mean, there's always players. You know, the thing is, it's funny, you know, like, you know, players are at small schools. If you're good, the NBA is going to find you, because there's enough scouts, there's enough people, there's enough YouTube, there's enough everything going on. You know, you look at these players in the league right now that didn't go to big schools, that are dynamic players in this league. Obviously, a lot of them do. There's no question about it. But sometimes it's where you drafted. But Zion and RJ, from what I've seen right now, you know, are hands above what I've seen, and I haven't seen everybody. But I'll tell you, you know, what did Donovan Mitchell go, 13th? I think he went 13th in the draft. Mm-hmm. You know, you could go in every organization and look at what they missed on, if they could do it again, and hindsight is 20/20. You could do that almost every year of the draft. It's not a perfect, you know, with all the analytics and with all the scouts and whatever, you can look at every GM, every coach, every, you know, organization has missed. It's not a perfect science, any of this stuff, whether it's from injury or certain players don't like the system or they don't, you know, get along because of this or that or the other thing. It's tough. But, you know, talent speaks volumes. But I know we want talented players. I want character players on my team, because the NBA is tough, and you're going to have your ups and downs. And the quicker you can mature and be consistent to help your team on a consistent basis, the better we're going to be as an organization, and the better our culture is going to be to develop a lot of these young players.
Yeah, Mitchell went 13th to Utah right there. I mean, again, a diamond in the rough for Utah, and he's a special player, that's for sure.
And there's going to be other ones. I don't care. There's going to be another guy this year, and there's been other players that, you know, you can look at the draft and the history. We know. I mean, the lottery's going to, you're going to get a lottery player, but, hey, not all lottery players work out either. There's guys that teams take in the middle to end of the first round, second round, whatever, that end up being good players. Where did Jimmy Butler go? I think he went 30th.
Right, he did.
Okay, I mean, that's an excellent pick. I mean, you know, you could talk about, you know, Karl Malone. You know, you could go back as far as you want. Yeah, we can talk about David Robinson and Tim Duncan and LeBron James and, you know, all these great players that went number one that are franchise-changing players, the Patrick Ewings. But, you know, there's not a lot of those guys around, you know, unfortunately. But, you know, the league is in a very strong position. The game has changed, not nearly as physical, but still some incredible athletes. And there's going to be more coming. It just it's not going to stop.
Coach, as always, I appreciate your time and your input on the first half of the season. We're looking forward to the second half. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Anytime, bud. Good to talk to you.
Hey, yo, Jay Hood. Talk that barbershop talk, dude.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Tales from the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
Tales from the Hood is brought to you by the fine folks at Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena when they host Wisconsin and Minnesota in the upcoming game. Buy tickets now at NUSports.com, NUSports.com. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. Let's take a look now. Oh, by the way, we've got more tickets to give away for the Chicagoland Fishing Travel and Outdoor Expo at the Schaumburg Convention Center, January 24th through the 27th. If you want to go, I'm going to give you tickets this half hour. It's our way of saying thanks for listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Let's see. After tonight, Saturday, I'll be with Jeff Dickerson from 4 to 7 p.m. in the afternoon on Saturday. If you're around, driving around, we'll be on talking about the NFL playoffs and a lot more. So that's part of the mix Saturday. 4 to 7 right here on ESPN 1000, ESPNradio.com, and SiriusXM Channel 80. So hopefully you'll be around checking that out. We always have a fun time on that show, bringing the Chicago flavor to the national airwaves. Not only in Chicago, but heard a lot of different places around the country. Okay, Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, and those in between. All right, our first story is a man tried to, first of all, Eric, I'm not going to ask Felix, but Eric would know. Eric, do you know someone that's had crabs?
Not admitted it to me, at least, so no. I'll say no.
I think I've known someone with crabs. Not this guy. Oh, no. Always safe. Felix, back to you.
No one.
There you go. A man tried to steal crab legs by stuffing them in his pants. This man wanted crabs on purpose in his pants. A man is facing charges after police say he tried to steal crab legs from a grocery store. Officers were dispatched at 2:46 on January 11th to a grocery store on 3800 block of Union Deposit Road for a reported retail theft.
And now that I think about it, I can. Actually, he's an NFL quarterback who once had crabs. I'll take that Jameis Winston joke for 200, please.
Arsenio Humphrey, who's 29. Arsenio Humphrey was taken into custody after he was found putting crab legs down the front of his pants and leaving the store without paying for them. Police also discovered that Humphrey left a 3-year-old child unattended in the vehicle in the parking lot while he was in the store. So a double whammy there. Idiot and a robber. How about that? Police said the vehicle was running and not locked while the child was inside. Strike three.
Good. That's real good. I hope he got his crab legs, though.
Humphrey, who was charged with retail theft and endangering the welfare of a child, was arraigned on charges and then released. I mean, that's three strikes in one story right there. Not only was the door unlocked, you left the child in there unattended, and you try to steal crab legs. Why? Because the kid has a taste for crab legs? So what happened to the mashed pears and peaches?
I was going
to
say, whatever happened to being poor and eating ramen noodles, not stealing crab legs?
Son of a... Wow. What a terrible guy that is.
Yeah, I'd say.
Jeez. Don't make me swear up in here. All right. Horses in pasture chase suspect fleeing Florida deputies. In Florida, a suspect on the run is behind bars thanks to a group of horses. Because wild horses couldn't keep me away. That chased him from their pasture. Yes, a helicopter was following the suspect as he ran away from deputies on the ground early Thursday morning. An infrared video camera in the helicopter recorded the suspect as he drove away from the deputies, then hid the car in the backyard and walked away. The suspect then ran through a neighborhood and eventually wound up running into a pasture. Video shows three horses ran after the man. He jumped a fence trying to get away from them. Deputies caught the man and arrested him. Now, here's something I don't know. You can train horses like you train dogs to go after suspects?
That's possible. They're smart. They're intelligent animals, so that could be possible. Interesting. The infrared video, I watched it. You just see the heat signature of someone in a field, and then these three horses, like 100 feet behind it, and he's just running away from them. They're just chasing them through this field the whole time. It had to be alarming watching horses coming down at you like that.
Did you know that, Felix?
I did not. I want to watch it, though.
So now the movie has to be made, right?
Correct.
Oh, my gosh.
That would be fun.
Police horses?
Right. I'm in. I'm absolutely in.
This is just BS. How's this guy getting away with this? I don't know. We gotta go after him.
The South. There you go.
Some gallops.
I mean, so you gotta get three horses, and they're gonna have to talk to each other, and all of a sudden, you know, the robbers believe that they got the plan all squared away, but no, you've got the police horses. They're on the scene. I got him, Wilbur. Don't worry.
Next week on Horsin' Around.
Why is that not on live PD? The horse is going after people. My goodness. By the way, I will admit something to you that I did not know until I read that story. You've heard this like in news stories, and you've seen this phrase in movies about the infrared videos.
Right.
I thought those are two words, like a root word.
Really?
I thought it was infra dash red or infra space red.
There we go. Now you know.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
All right. Let's be honest. That's an article from Florida, though. So let's not. We don't know if that's necessarily going to be like correct.
True. I never thought about that. That's true. I just never. Just like, I thought infrared was like two different words. Indian River County. Yes, a naked lady in Mercedes busted in the Indian River County. So a naked woman got locked up after investigators said that she was behind the wheel of a Mercedes while under the influence. The deputy went to the residence of 2100 block of 43rd Avenue and heard a vehicle turn on. The garage door opened and the deputy saw reverse lights activate on a white Mercedes. A completely naked female was in the driver's seat. It's unclear whether she wore a seatbelt. And my thought is, why does it matter?
Yeah, what's a seatbelt? Okay. She wouldn't be naked then, though, right?
Well, yeah.
Probably, partially clothed woman.
No, a seatbelt is not clothed. Put down the poll at ESPN 1000. Is a seatbelt clothing?
Depends on what it covers, right?
Identified as, Faure, F-A-U-R-E, one name. The naked lady smelled of booze, an affidavit says. An alcohol bottle was near the driver's side door. The home of Faure listed the address. The affidavit didn't specify why she was going naked after midnight. Like that matters. She was arrested on the charge of resisting arrest without violence and is accused of trying to spit on a corporal.
There's a good woman right there. Driving around naked, spitting on corporals. Pardon the expression.
So there you go.
Oh, God.
That's an unusual story. Could you look up something for me? Where is Indian River County? Is that California? There's no state here. It says Indian River County. Is that Florida? California?
It's Florida. There we go.
Another Florida. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, of course. What did
makes I sense.
Eric Ostrowski.
All right, real quick, I want to give a happy 87th shout-out to Betty White. Amazing. Shouts to her.
I think that's 97.
I was going to say, yeah, it's 97.
It is 97, yep. Now that I look at my note that I wrote down. Happy 97th birthday, Betty White. I literally wrote it down so I'd remember, and then I didn't even read it. But now I want to go to NBC in Des Moines.
No love for Muhammad Ali, by the way. No, nothing for Ali.
I mean, he's not 97 and alive.
So you don't count the birthday if they're not alive.
I don't, actually.
Put that on the poll at ESPN 1000. Do you count someone's birthday if they're dead? Yes or no?
So you normally? I think it's a day of remembrance, but I don't like happy birthday Muhammad Ali.
That's all over social media,
I know.
You know?
But I don't know. And I don't agree. That's all. I just don't feel that way in my sense.
Really?
I'm kind of cold-hearted and things like that. Felix, yeah, I don't know.
Felix, break the tie.
He's not blowing out candles.
No. I think it's important. I think even when someone passed, I would look back and remember them for sure.
I think for me, it's a threshold. After 100, I don't care.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. just saying, like after
my threshold's just a little lower than yours. That's
like,
all.
Like on the Jim Ross report, he'll say, you know, a wrestler that wrestled at Comiskey Park in 1945, he'd be 110 today. My God. Like, dude,
No, he wouldn't.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right, you're good. So, someone played the lottery, won a small prize, but still got a big check from Iowa, as NBC Des Moines explains.
Tyler Heap was not a big winner, but he still wanted to be treated like one. I love this. Last week, he cashed in a $1 winning scratch-off ticket at lottery headquarters and requested that he be treated like a big winner. And to his surprise, the lottery agreed.
And they decided to treat me like just a $1 million winner. You know, the guy came down the stairs and took me to the back room where the camera was with the Iowa Lottery logo in the background. And sure enough, they wrote me the $1 check and had me hold it up for the camera and took a picture.
I love it.
I do too.
And Tyler told us that he spent his winnings on a half gallon of gas.
My man went to Iowa, to the Iowa Lottery place and said, I want a big check. They gave him one of those big 4-foot checks for his $1 winnings. God bless that man.
At least he got something out of it.
It's amazing.
YOLO.
Yeah, why not, right?
That's so hilarious that they did the whole picture and everything.
Just one of them big old checks. Yeah. They're your checks, pal. I would just give him like rice checks. I would have given him a box of rice checks.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
If I was smart ass that way, that's what I would have done. Top of the hour is Throwback Thursday. Felix Reyes. All right, guys.
Police seek volunteers to get drunk for training exercise. A Pennsylvania police department is seeking volunteers willing to drink hard liquor to the point of being drunk for a training exercise. The Kutztown Police Department said in a Facebook post it is seeking 3 volunteers to help with a training event designed to teach officers how to administer tests during suspected DUI incidents. The department said volunteers need to be available from 2:30 p.m. until 7 p.m. April 4th. Alcohol will be provided. However, you would not receive any compensation for your time, the department said. The post said volunteers should be between the ages of 25 and 40 and have a clean criminal history. How about that? A free chance to drink hard in front of cops. Would you do it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a long time. Would you say it was 2 to 7?
2:30 p.m. till 7 p.m.
4.5 hours of officers feeding you booze.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's pretty fun.
Can I choose the booze?
I'm almost sure you do. Yeah. You're walking into a store. They're going to have all the types of booze in front of you. Yeah, for sure.
If I could choose it, I'm definitely down.
Right. Awesome, and for research process, like purposes, I want to be the combative combative drunk. Just for research.
Can I beat your ass? Excuse me, officer. Now, listen, I'm not going to get arrested, right? Right?
Right.
All right. Here I go. I'll start swinging on you. All right.
Yeah.
By the way, you mentioned Kutztown. And I was thinking, Kutztown, where have I heard that before? Remember Jordan Morgan? Probably not, like, he was drafted by the Bears. He was from Kutztown in 2017.
That's correct, yeah. He was a tackle, right? A right tackle?
That's
I think he was an offensive tackle.
Okay.
Yes, Jordan Morgan was an offensive tackle.
Yes,
yep.
Yes. So there you go. I knew I'd heard that before. I'm like, okay, Kutztown. Because I thought it was ridiculous to get this guard out of a Division II school. I'm like, come on, you could do better than that. But that's the old Bears. They wouldn't do that today, right?
Don't know.
And that's Tales from the Hood right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Okay, so you heard our stories from Tales from the Hood. So we want you to name your favorite story for Tales from the Hood. So caller number two, regular line, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. What's your favorite story from the Tales from the Hood? We've had, let's see, five stories. Five stories from Tales from the Hood. What was your favorite story? Caller two, regular line. We'll hook you up with a four-pack to the Chicago Fishing, Travel, and Outdoor Show. It's going to take place at the Schaumburg Convention Center January 24th through the 27th. It's our way of saying thanks for listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. No! Wait! Stop! 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 No! Hello? Stop.
I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the microphone.
Hey, yo, J. Hood. Talk that barbershop talk, dude.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Did I go now?
Yep.
Okay.
Oop.
Yo, it's time for Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Going to have Throwback Thursday coming up at the top of the hour here on ESPN 1000. We still got more tickets to give away. It's a ticket window Thursday here on Under the Hood. We've got the Chicagoland Fishing, Travel, and Outdoor Expo at the Schaumburg Convention Center, January 24th through the 27th. If you want to go, I got your hookup in our 9 o'clock hour right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. I don't know about you, but I am looking forward to the Final Four in the NFL this weekend, and here's why. The Final Four in the NFL weekend might be better than the actual Super Bowl. We'll see. We will see. I got my picks, but I just need a little bit more influence. You know, like Tom Brady talking about the road struggles for the Patriots.
You know, I think I just look at those games individually, and I can, you know, I know why we haven't won those games individually. I don't think it's a, you know, broad sweeping thing. It was a little bit in each game. And I think the point of that is it's, you know, this is not the week to have less than our best. So it's a tough game. It's a tough challenge. It's tough to beat the number one seed on the road. I mean, that's the reality. It's just like we're tough to beat at home when we're the number one seed. It takes a lot. It takes a lot of good football. You know, it takes a great complimentary game. All three phases have to be on point. We're going against a team that score a lot of points. They lead the league in sacks. Strip sacks, you know, it's a good group. And I think everybody at every position has to play well. That's what championship games are all about. These aren't just handed to you on a silver platter and, you know, here you go, here's your trip to the Super Bowl. It's, you got to go fight them out. We've been in a lot of games that come down right to the end.
So Brady on the road struggles. Okay, you know what? He seems confident. What about Andy Reid on Tom Brady?
I haven't seen any decline, and I haven't seen him getting slower. So, I mean, that's not his deal. He's not going to run and do all that unless he has to. But, I mean, he's as accurate. He sees things better than even when he did when he was younger. I'm wearing glasses. He doesn't, right? So the age thing hasn't hit him. He's an amazing guy.
Belichick?
I think he's a great player on a great team that's very well coached. They have a great scheme and a great system. He's got a ton of weapons, so it'll be tough to handle, as well their entire offense, as well their entire team, so... We'll need our best game. We'll need our best effort. And that's what we're preparing to give.
Yep. He doesn't believe anything he just said. Bill Belichick on Mahomes' talent. So there you go. So because of all that, the latest number I saw from Bovada is the Patriots are 3-point underdog and the over-under 55. Give me the Patriots
plus the 3 and the under 55 for this contest. Cold temperatures, first time around for Patrick Mahomes to take on a veteran team led by Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Give me the Patriots plus 3 in that contest. How about the other one? The Saints in that matchup against the Rams. Here's Drew Brees.
Well, it was crazy. It was electric. And, you know, I'd say, too, you know, that year, obviously, we were tracking. The Vikings were tracking, you know, and so I think we all felt like that's who we were going to see in the NFC Championship game. I think this year, in many respects, that was kind of the same idea, you know, as we looked across the league and saw what the Rams were doing and the success that they were having. They're a phenomenal team, and they had a great season. Yeah, obviously, we played them, you know, mid-season, and it was a hard-fought game on both sides of the ball. But I think we had a feeling then that, obviously, we aspired to be in this situation, and I think we all had a feeling that they were going to be the team that we might face again, and so here we are.
Sean McVay, the coach for the L.A. Rams, the familiarity taking on the New Orleans Saints.
I do think there is a comfort level with just having been there, but I do think you can look at there's pluses and minuses to both, you know, where if it's the first time you're playing them, you know, there's a familiarity that doesn't exist on both sides. There is in this instance, you know, where really we played one game against them, the preseason game. I don't think really either team was showing much, but it's going to be an outstanding challenge.
The Saints are 3.5-point favorite, the over-under 57, which I think is low, by the way. Probably by the time we get to Sunday, it might be 59. If it's 60, it would be a surprise. But I like the Saints minus 3.5 in this contest against the L.A. Rams. Again, we're talking about young quarterback, right? Jared Goff. Good team now with the Rams. Don't get me wrong. Nice win for them against the Cowboys. But I just got a good feeling about a veteran-led team by Drew Brees and the Saints. I think that they'll have enough in the tank to get it done. Minus 3.5. I give the Saints the credit and over 57 in that contest. By the way, speaking of gambling, sports gambling, Value Bet with Jonathan Hood and Joe Ostrowski is up. If you go to the Under the Hood podcast, again, iTunes, Apple Music, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcast, look for Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Value Bet's up. It's ready to go. He gives Joe gives his thoughts about what he expects to see for the NFL games, and also we go over the baseball over-unders as well for win totals. So we got that as well for Value Bet on the Under the Hood podcast. You know what's next? Throwback Thursday.
Hey, yo, Jay Hood, talk that barbershop talk, dude.